Welcome back at WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our WNST coverage brought to you by our friends and sponsors, including Leonard Raskin and our friends at Raskin Global, making sure your finances are secure. You can find out more about all that Leonard does at Raskin Global at RaskinGlobal.com. He's also on the program, as is Todd Schuller from Blondell Miller Schuller. You can find them at DamnGoodLawyer.com. And Todd and I had a long chat about prosperity, gratitude, the Constitution, and pumpkin versus pecan versus sweet potato. And our friends at Taharka are going to be shipping ice cream your way throughout the holidays. $15.70 off the 8-pack delivered for just over $40 now to your door. Eggnog, peppermint bark, and sweet potato casserole. Tell you what, it's football season. The Tennessee Titans are coming to town. Usually this really stirs up the emotions of Eddie George and all of that. Paul Kaharsky's been covering the National Football League ever since he came to Tennessee back at the turn of the century, as we say. This has become quite the rivalry, and certainly this week with the Ravens with a lot on the line right now and reeling, here come the Tennessee Titans to bring a little bit of a dose of what hit them last year. Paul Kaharsky can be found at Paul Kaharsky NFL. When he's not writing about the National Football League, he's writing about my other favorite topic, which is Bruce Springsteen. What's going on, Paul? How you been, man?
Well, I don't write so much about him as I just listen to him. So that's more of what I dive into when I'm not working.
The new gig, you like the new album? You been listening?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I wish Song for Orphans wasn't on there. I hate when there's one that interrupts my flow and makes me reach to skip it. But I think it's excellent. And my kid, who's 11 and has far different musical tastes than I do, loves Ghosts. So we crank up Ghosts.
All right, man. As long as he likes something. I mean, I saw Eddie Van Halen's kids got the, you know, the new song going, and he's talking about his dad, put the video up. So, you know, I had to ask myself about 3 months into this pandemic what I missed more, sports or music. And at that time, it was definitely music. Now that sports is back, I think I miss music even more. But the normalcy of sports, right? Like, I flew to Houston week two, sat in an empty stadium. I went down to D.C. and up to Philly. The empty stadium thing, for what we've done for a living all of our lives, this is just a really bizarre period. And, you know, I hope we don't get too used to this.
Yeah, I don't love the empty stadium thing. I miss the locker room access more because differentiating yourself becomes more difficult when you can't. I mean, we don't know these rookies or these free agents that came in to any degree outside of, you know, a conversation like this with a whole bunch of people in it. So very unconventional, very different, making it work the best we can. But to be able to turn the TV on and see a game when you're not working is the key thing. And that was an awfully dead and gloomy period there. So I'm glad that's over with for sure.
Yeah, it feels like a million years ago before the pandemic, but it was, you know, 6-8 weeks before the pandemic that the Titans were coming in. I had all of you on from Tennessee, and I had been traveling down to Florida to look for hotel rooms for all of our bus trips. We were all going to be going down. Lamar was going to win the Super Bowl in Miami. We're 14-2. And then they couldn't tackle Derrick Henry, and they couldn't make a yard on 4th-and-1. And the fortunes turned, and now you look 9 months later for this team here. No Marshall Yanda, no Ronnie Stanley, no Nick Boyle. I mean, it's a whole different thing to contend with right now if you're Mike Vrabel, if you're putting that defense together. And I know the Titans haven't been very good lately either after getting off to a real nice start.
Yeah, Titans, the defense was disappointing even during the 5-0 start. They're waiting on Adoree Jackson, their best cornerback, who's been out all season. So I don't know if it's time for him yet. He could make a big difference. They can't rush the passer at all. Vic Beasley was a disaster. They gave him $9.5 million for nothing, and he's not here anymore. So they've got a lot of problems defensively. It was historically bad on third down for a while. They've settled down there. But it's got to be an offensive football team. It's got to start with Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill's got to be super precise. And that hasn't been the case over the last few weeks when they faced some really good defenses. They saw Pittsburgh. They had a 45-yard field goal to send that into overtime. And another guy who's really been a disappointment, Steven Gostkowski, missed that. So they lost that one. And things have gotten away from them since then. They lost at Cincinnati, which shouldn't have happened. That was a dud game. They beat Chicago despite a very good defensive effort from the Bears. And then they fell apart against the Colts, the team they really need to get past in the AFC South. So they've lost 3 out of 4 to get to 6-3. And now you could put them in a big lump, I guess, with the Ravens, with the Raiders, with the Browns, who they play soon. They've got Indianapolis again next week after the Ravens. And I put them down. I don't pick games, but I think the Ravens, very difficult game for them. Based on where the Ravens are right now and based on what happened last year with that grudge feeling carried for the Ravens for a long time. And if you're choosing between those two games, obviously you want the playoff one last year, but there may be consequences for that now.
Well, you know, I mentioned Ronnie Stanley and how this whole thing's different offensively. Certainly the loss of Taylor Lewan and what the Titans want to do in running the football, in jamming it down your throat, and that they're doing less of it. He's getting less touches. Might be time to be giving him the ball a little bit more here this week. I think the Ravens would certainly expect that.
I don't know. Everybody's talking about fewer touches. I mean, he got a ton of touches the first 3 weeks. He was, I think he had 31 opening night. He had 25, 26 the second 2 weeks. But he's in that wheelhouse of 22 to 18, 19, which still to me is the magical number. Two of those games they lost relatively big, so he dropped off at the end a little bit. I certainly think they'd like to get him between 20 and 25. And their other two running backs have gotten a few more touches than you might expect. Jeremy McNichols on third down has run very well when he's gotten the ball. Derrick Henry's just not in there on third down. It's not third and short very often. He's not a good pass protector. And he's not a good pass catcher. They don't throw to the backs very often on third down. The third round pick, Darrington Evans, has been hurt and hasn't been a contributor yet this season. The path to success is through Henry and then the play action off of that. But they've just not been precise enough. A.J. Brown, 2 weeks in a row, has dropped a touchdown bomb. They've had too many drops. They've been a disaster on special teams. Brett Kern's out with a messed up wrist that came from a bad snap on a extra point or a field goal where he had to get up and run with the ball, and then the punter's wrist got messed up. They've been through two punters last week. They had a 17-yard shank and a block that turned the game around against the Colts. So
that's something the Ravens can really use right now. The block punt or, missing field goals. Those are the kinds of things that the Ravens could take advantage of,
Yeah. Titans could take advantage of them too if they could flip them and make them happen on the other side. And this could be the kind of game where things like that come around. Look, they figured out a great formula for handling Lamar Jackson and the Ravens last time around with huge consequences on the line. But like you're saying, both teams are very, very different now. And this Titans defense, maybe it's a good game for them in the sense that they didn't really rush Lamar Jackson in the playoff game. They just kind of, stayed in their lanes and built everything up to contain him. I think they're better equipped to do that than they are to rush.
We are chatting with Paul Kuharsky. He's Paul Kuharsky NFL out on Twitter. You can find him at paulkuharsky.com. That's Kuharsky. If you're watching out on our Zoomcast or out on WNS-TV, you can find that there as well. I think for all of us who watch the league and who sat through the draft and waited for the other sports to come, baseball finished, basketball finished, hockey finished, the Titans were the first one to have the dirty locker room with COVID on the back end of the Marlins. We're now getting into this nitty gritty where, the Browns are second week now practicing via Zoom. I don't know that it was ever a level playing field from the Ravens had their bye week move. So did the Steelers because the Titans were dirty, right? So I don't know that there's any real fairness in this. I am worried as we get closer into the holidays and closer into January about how they're going to finish this season, given COVID and given the integrity of all of it, if you're going to try to send a playoff game out there with half a football team, as an example.
Well, I think, they adjusted a lot of the protocols based on what happened to the Titans. It's awfully foolish to have somebody come back with a positive test on a Saturday morning. In the Titans' case, it was an assistant coach, and then put people on planes and buses, within hours of that. And that sure seems like where the Titans outbreak started. And, then the tightest quarters you're going to be in all week are those bus rides and the plane ride and the bus rides on the other side and the plane ride back and all of that. And we saw very quickly things get adjusted. Then the close contacts are, could be eliminated. You could be perfectly fine health-wise, symptom-wise, and eliminated from a game. If the timing is poor for your close contact to somebody that's tested positive, all those things got tightened up as a result of what the Titans went through. I'm not sure that they handled everything correctly, but I'm also quite certain that they didn't deserve, their season to be canceled, as a lot of people were suggesting, and they weren't nearly as guilty of as atrocious sins as some people thought. It's a damn virus, that can't be entirely controlled, So, I think they're going to force these games through. And unless somebody's got a real outbreak at a position that gets you down on the offensive line to, four healthy people, including your practice squad, they're going to find a way to get these games played no matter how diminished you are. And we're going to see what happens really if somebody takes a hit in the quarterback room, or superstar.
Well, the game's already built like that, right? Like the Saints right now with Drew Brees, thumbs down on them if you think they're going to win a championship without him, right? So getting him better, that's the case with a lot of teams with injury, but injuries aren't contagious.
Right. Yeah. And if it takes out your quarterback, not just your quarterback, but your quarterback room, then we'll really have a story. But they've been able to stave that off. But the numbers are obviously trending again in a bad direction, as we were, told by science people they were going to do as the weather turned, as the seasons turned. And it's probably a bigger concern with the weather in other places and depending on how people behave during the holidays and all of that. So not out of the woods yet, but they're going to play a Super Bowl. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. There's too much money at stake, and they'll find a way.
Well, and finding a way may mean a bubble in Vegas or L.A. or, putting the playoff teams off somewhere. Certainly selling tickets is not something they're going to be doing. I mean, we've locked down the stadium here again. Down where you are, they've opened the stadium up. And, I know they want commerce and business and red voting and all of that went on down there. But any thought that's going to change, too, that fans are going to stop coming in Nashville?
I know they're up to 21% now. The Titans are on the road this week and next.
And so, they played a lot of home games, right?
Yeah, they've really they've only got what do we say here? Two more home games.
Yeah.
So things could be scaled back by December 6th against Cleveland, or a later game against Detroit. So I don't know what that'll be like, but they're heading back to an empty stadium. Now they played their first three or four games in empty places. So it won't be uncommon for them. And I know it's heading that direction. Philadelphia's had that direction. Baltimore's had that direction. And
have you attended an empty stadium game yet?
Yeah, I attended opening night in Denver on a Monday night was empty. Jacksonville here was empty. At Minnesota in that glorious new building was empty on the first three of the season.
You coming in this week to Baltimore?
I am, unless something changes.
Yeah, I traveled early, and I took Indianapolis and in New England. I didn't go the other night. I 25 years. I've missed a handful of games back when my wife was sick and a few other weird occasions to miss games. But watching on TV and COVID and the Zoom thing, it just it hasn't felt so beneficial to be there to some degree. Other than watching the benches and formations and the All-22 tape that's available now, I am risk-averse when it comes to this. So, I mean, hey, we'll get you a crab cake when you come in, Karski. I mean,
yeah,
I'm
still
all
serving
for
the crab cake.
We'll get you over to Fadley's. I mean, no problem. I told Jimmy Wyatt, we'll send him over to Fadley's, no problem. But it has been a weird time, and, nobody will be at this game.
Yeah, with my independent business, I've still been able to find a sponsor. Thank you, Tennessee Heating and Cooling.
Go ahead. Give them hell, Tennessee Heating and Cooling.
I feel compelled to be there still. We do get a little bit extra in terms of player quotes for those of us that are there. And I don't know. It still somehow feels like
it's what we do. The right, like, thing literally, to do. Right? Yeah. I mean, literally. Well, Paul, I hope you keep doing it. And, you know, at least pack some Springsteen in the iPod there when you're up and at 'em and coming into Baltimore. We'll get you to Fadley's if you're jogging through the harbor. I'll honk the horn. And, hey, man, when Titans come to town, it's always a slobber knocker. It's never easy. And I was the guy that predicted a big Patriots beatdown on Sunday night. Saw how that worked out, right?
That's a good call, yeah. I'm not one to predict, but Mike Vrabel has had a very good success after buys and mini buys, and they needed rest badly. And this really kind of qualifies as their buy because they, you know, they screwed up their buy. And like you said, Baltimore's buy and Pittsburgh's buy with the COVID delays. So I do expect that they'll have some stuff straightened out from having had a couple days for the coaches to kind of evaluate and adjust. But there's a real tough stretch here. At Baltimore, at Indianapolis, and Cleveland at home. And we're going to know what these guys are in 3 weeks for sure.
You can find all the work of Paul Kuharsky at paulkuharsky.com. Also at Midday 180. You can follow him out on Twitter at Paul Kuharsky NFL. Take care. Stay safe, man. Wash your hands. Wear a mask. Be careful when you're in here. But get a crab cake over Fadley's. You will not be disappointed that you did.
Yeah, you're going to have to send me that name. I don't know that name.
Fadley's, world famous Fadley's, F-A-I-D-L-E-Y-S, Fadley's of Lexington Market. Stop on down. Get some fries and coleslaw. Do it upright.
I will.
There you go. Paul, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Sure. Paul Kuharsky, longtime NFL reporter down in Nashville. Looking forward. Maybe get on the Nashville docket, get a trip down there. And once everything gets normal again, I can go back down to Mon-El's and pass the grits and pass the fried chicken and the biscuits and all that good Southern stuff I love doing. But football this week, it's a final 1 o'clock game for a little while. We go to Thursday against the Steelers on Thanksgiving, and then next Thursday after that against Dallas, and then a Monday against Cleveland. So a disjointed little Sunday afternoon, a little red zone for me. That probably means more fried chicken from Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. I am Nestor. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com finds me. Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, anywhere you are. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.